that we are to come to him with signs and wonders. Okay? And too long we sit around waiting for somebody else to do it. Okay? We have this weird thought pattern that somebody else is going to come in and do our work for us. And God is saying we need to do the work of the Lord. We are the anointed vessels. We are the chosen people. We are. Not we will be. We are. Amen? And this afternoon, as I was hunting for the Lord to give a word for this night, to give you hope and to create an atmosphere of what He wants rather than what you and I think we need or want. Do you ever get an idea of what you think you know, what you want to know? There are times that we don't comprehend the feast because we don't understand that God is the one that set these times of special remembrance for us to learn a lesson. It's not a compulsory thing, but it is something that we will now take time to recognize why God set this up. Why He set it up in the Old Testament, and Jesus came along and He says, I'm not wiping it out. I'm completing what was happening in the Old. So you and I are part of the body of Christ, amen? So when we're here together as one unit, are we not the Lord in a corporate form? A few weeks ago, this sister had no clue. She brought us four grapes. I did not know, and I shared this with you guys, I did not know what it meant. All I knew was I had already poured some wine into the cup. It had not been consecrated. And I went and I looked at the tray and I see four and I said, Lord, and somebody informed me that Linda had brought the four. And so I said, Lord, what is this? And He didn't tell me what it was. All He said was, take one. And I went over. I handed it to her hands. And I said, hold it. And I believe I had the cup with me. And I was purposing to put a little bit of the wine on each one of those little grapes individually. And I covered them all. And then I put it back, not knowing. The following night, I'm on my new computer. And I'm having a little party all by myself. And I ended up calling Mary Ann because now I'm floating. I'm in the heavenlies. I am so excited because, see, what I had done in obedience to God showed me from a picture done by a man in Kansas City, or Kansas, Missouri, I'm sorry. Kansas, right?
Kansas City, Missouri.
Kansas City, Missouri. Now, can you believe? Here's this gorgeous picture, and it's got a great big cup, very similar to this. Got a big loaf of bread, and on the bottom of the picture is all these grapes. And there's a writing, and I'm having a hard time to read this. And finally, I was able to finagle my little mouse. And you know, you need a mouse. I didn't know we needed a mouse, but we have a mouse now. And this mouse is a friendly one, and it helped to make things bigger. And I'm reading, and there it was. When you have one grape, it's a singular anointing. But when you have a group of grapes together, it signifies the corporate anointing. And I said, oh my God. And now I picked up the phone and I called her, and I'm not touching the ground now because I know what God is saying. See? Now, did anybody notice that we had four breads this morning?
Yes.
Four. North, south, east, and west. Amen? Catching on now, girl? So the things you do, thinking you've done nothing for God, just did something to do and to obey Him. Now, how often does she come to church with grapes? Tell us. Why?
I'm not lunching.
But this time?
He told me.
And you?
Okay.
So, would you do me a favor, all of you? Close your eyes and lift one hand to the Lord and say, when you speak, Lord, I'll have the grace to carry out what you want me to do. I don't care what the enemy says. I'll bring whatever he tells me to do. I'll do whatever he tells me to do. To the best of my ability. And God will honor that as righteousness. For me. Just like he did for Abraham. Amen. See, Abraham did and obeyed, didn't he? When you and I do and obey, do you think God's going to slap you on the side of the head and say you did it wrong? He's going to compliment you with his word. Okay? Now today, in the scriptures that you might want to look up would be Leviticus 16, Leviticus 23, Hebrews 9, Hebrews 22, and Hebrews 9, verses 11 through 14, verse 22 and 24, and Hebrews 10, verses 1 through 25. Now, you don't need to go get your Bible just yet. Yom Kippur was the most solemn and important day of the biblical calendar. Only once a year was any Israelite permitted to enter the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle or the temple and to approach the Lord where his spirit resides above the mercy seat. The high priest on the Day of Atonement went through a complex set of sacrifices to atone for the sins of the people, etc., etc., etc. I don't want to go into all that. What I'm trying to make you aware of is he used the blood of animals. And as I was praying this afternoon, asking the Lord, okay, what is it that you and I, as a body of believers, can understand in an example to change us? And I saw the cup. This came from my mother when she broke up housekeeping. I didn't tell her I was stealing it. I did say, however, that there was no one else that was going to get it. And this is a very old cup. I don't know how old. I don't know the fullness of its background, but I know it was speaking to me. It was speaking to me that it was a very precious cup, and it concerned the family background, the things of God that are going back many generations, the communion of saints. For me, that's what it was really talking about, the communion of saints. Why is it important that we have an understanding that what happened before us has value to us? Anybody tell me why? What happened to our ancestors has value to us today. How does that relate to this Day of Atonement?
Remembrance.
Remembrance, okay. What else?
That they have paved the way.
They have paved the way. They did what their part was, and they gave us what they had. Get it? Did you not learn from your mother and your dad? Mom and dad, to the best of their ability? Can I go around the room? Did you gain something from your family? And they gained from their family. So this whole reality of this Day of Atonement, I used to think it was just for today. But I learned later, I was wrong. I didn't comprehend that my family were connected to me. I didn't comprehend that there were times that they may have fallen short. But when I pick up the ball and carry it to the next level, they gain in the realm of the spirit just like I gain. How many getting frowns? How many getting a frown? How many getting, what does he mean? What is he talking about?
It's tough to grasp. It's not as linear as we like to think.
Right. It's not as simple as what we can see for the moment. We have an attitude sometimes that what we did is what we pay for. Right? Can I really add to the reality that your sins are going to be passed on and your weaknesses are going to be passed on to your children? Do I get an amen there?
Amen.
Do you see sometimes the weaknesses of your mom and dad inside of you? Do you see their weaknesses sometimes being passed on to the next generation or those around you? Well, yes. Okay, so it's not cut and dry. See, it's not so simple. And I remember many, many years ago, Pastor Gino used to talk about the heavenly church and the earthly church. I won. And I had a hard time with this. I really did. And when I went to my brother-in-law's funeral a few weeks ago, and I want to go a lot into that area, but I knew that God was doing something. And there's one of my dad's sisters who had a large family. And when she was coming to a level of giving up child birth, one of her daughters, which was the same age as me, came to live with us for the summer, just to give mom a break. And of course, my cousin, which we were really not cousins, I'm really her uncle. But because of our age, we were like cousins. And we got connected that whole summer. Well, she happened to be missing at this funeral. And the reason I was hoping, because she was in my heart. And as I was driving up, I said to my wife, I hope I see Lala. I hope we can connect, because it's been a long time. And probably since her father died, or her mother died, I don't remember which. And that's been many, many years. And so when we got to the city and we went through the whole cycles, I had one of her sisters catch up to me. And I said, gee, what happened to your sister? You know, because I'm tied to her. I'm tied to this one of nine. Why? Because she spent time with me. We became one and we harmonized to each other. And so I wasn't able to connect with her, but I got her phone number. A week and a half ago, I spent an hour and a half on the phone with her. Because she's 4 hours west of Montreal. So she wasn't able to come. And we began to communicate at levels that we had not spoken since we were, I was probably, I'm guessing, 7. Okay? You figure it out. It's been a long time to reconnect. But we had quality time on the phone. It was better than being at the funeral home. And we both teased each other about, we got to connect. And we talked about all kinds of things. And all of a sudden she says to me, you know, I went back to Grandpa and Grandpa's house, which is where I was born. And she says, the barn is gone and the house is gone, but the land is still there. And me and my two sisters and my brother, we went and stayed and walked on the land. And she told me all kinds of other information. And I said, well, how did you feel when you were walking on the land? And she did this just a couple years ago. And she says, oh, it was so, so odd. Now, she doesn't have my experience with God. But she's got her religious background. No different than I was. And we began to communicate. And she says, and guess what? I even went to the church where our father, our grandfather, and our grandmother got married. And now I had a jolt in my spirit. And I said, wow, how was it? She says, oh. She says, it's way, way up north, past Quebec City, way, way up north. And she says, we drove and drove and drove. And she says, it's like blah, blah land. And she says, more blah land. It's just, there's nothing. But she says, we were so discouraged because we thought we were on the wrong road. And all of a sudden, she says, we went over a ridge. And when we got to the top of this ridge, she says, we saw heaven appear. And there was a sign, welcome. And it was the town where our parents and our great-grandparents were brought up. And she says, it is so picture perfect, you think you're in a fantasy land. She says, you know when you see Disney World in Florida, she spent her time in Florida in the winter. She says, that's what it was like. She says, it was like driving into fantasy land. It is so beautiful, you gotta go. I says, oh, you're enticing me. Because I've had a desire to go, but I've never been able to go. Why? Because she says there was such a holy connection. There was such a holy, special time for her and the Lord. Jesus, when he went into Israel and went down into Jerusalem, every year he went to this special day, to the temple. Can you imagine what he had going through his heart when he would enter that temple, knowing he was the high priest, anointed to give up his blood instead of the animals? Do you think there was a jolt in him? Do you think there was a stirring within him? There was a stirring about me and my parents having a friend or a cousin visiting, and there was a stirring in my spirit. I'm not Jesus, but I have his spirit. I believe that when you take time out to commemorate this special day, this special anointed day of the Lord, that you and your generations to come will be touched. The generations to come are going to be affected because of your obedience. Not because you're here, because it doesn't matter where, but you've gathered in his name. You've joined yourselves to the saints. And corporately, you become the body of. And we're definitely commemorating a very special day. The holiest day of the Jewish New Year. The day where every single national function comes to a halt. One of the comments that's written on here is, if you were, oh no, it's in one of the articles you gave me. If you were in Israel today, you could walk on any street and there would be zero traffic. Zero traffic. Nothing moves except people's feet. Why? Because it's the Day of Atonement. It is the holiest day, starting at sundown, going all the way to sundown tomorrow. Holiest day. Nothing is going to be done just for the sake of humdrum realities, like taking a bus or going to school. Nothing happens except people are taking time out to say to God, are there any sins on my hands that I need to get rid of? Do I need to wash my hands again of all the old? Do I need to change where I've been or how I've acted with people or acted towards myself? How can I take time out in these next 24 to really look at me? Can I really look on the inside, and what I choose will affect what happens to my family, what happens to my peers, my co-workers, my friends, my relatives, plus one more level, my ancestry. They're watching. They're watching. The communion of saints are watching. They will not be made complete without us. Catching on? I could prove it to you in the Word. But what I want to give you tonight is just a little bit more of Hebrews. Okay? If you do want to get your Bible now, you might want to take a moment and pick it up. Hebrews chapter 9. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's kind of lengthy. But if you take the two chapters, you'll get a real good picture of the commission of the priesthood. Now, I could take you to 1 Peter and show you that you are priests. And the priesthood is from the order of Melchizedek. Verse 1. The first covenant had regulations for worship, and also an earthly sanctuary. A tabernacle was set up. Remember your vision, Gail? In its first room were lampstands and a table and a consecrated bread, and this was called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a room called the most holy place, which had the golden altar of incense and the gold-covered ark of the covenant and this ark contained the gold jar of manna. Aaron's staff that had budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant. Above the ark were the cherubim and the glory, overshadowing the atonement cover. But we cannot discuss these things in detail now. When everything had been arranged like this, the priests entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry. But only a high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year, which was today. And never without blood. Think about it. Never without blood. Which he offered, starting with whom?
Himself.
See, sometimes I find myself pushing you to realize that you are the one that God is interested in. He's interested in you. He's interested in what's happening to you personally. And for the sins of the people had committed in ignorance. Now, I know there's more details in the Amplified, but I think this is sufficient to get you a clue anyway. The Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed as long as the first tabernacle was still standing. This is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper. Now that is important. When we have a clear conscience, when our conscience is clear, your conscience, by the way, is one of the attributes of your spirit. It is not a part of your soul. Do you ever do something stupid and you have this little nudge that comes and says, oh God, look at how dumb that was. And it comes over and over in a gentle nudge. It's not an accusation. It's just a gentle thing that God comes along. That's your conscience. Okay? And your conscience is really giving you, hey, get an adjustment here. Look where you're going. Look what you're doing. And when you're heading in the wrong direction, if you turn it around next month, you'll be wasting how many days?
One.
Yeah. What about if you turn it around immediately? How much time did you waste then?
3 months.
Right. Now what about if it's something that you saw your parents do? And you're now watching yourself do. Like your mouth went off in the same direction. You heard almost the exact same words. Did you ever get a clue it's the same devil working on you that worked on them? Yoo-hoo. Come on. Yeah. So change it. If Daniel could change his generation by repenting for his ancestors and for himself and for the day that was present at that time, what about you? What's your excuse? Why can't you do what you were told to do? Because the scripture says Jesus is my example. Did he go into the mercy seat? Did he sprinkle his blood on the mercy seat? Then what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you asking for God to forgive you your sin and the sin of your fathers? Is it so hard? Can you take on their failure? Can you take on their weakness? What about if it's your kid doing the same thing?
Amen.
Uh-huh. Yeah? Can you go forward? Say amen.
Amen.
Gee, I got a prod you even on that one. Whether you go forward or backward, we serve a now God. Yes?
Yes.
Now is the day. Today is the day of what? Atonement. Yes. Now, do we need to take this day and say, this is the only day we can do this? No, but good grief, let's turn around. Let's do it. Let's activate it. Let's become a part of it. Let's be the body of Christ. And atone for the mistakes of those that we know. And that which is brought to us. As I communicated with my cousin, you know, I wanted to tell her about my experience on that mountain with my brother. And the Lord says, shut up. She's going to choke. I said, oh, okay, Lord. But you know, I can't wait to tell her one of these days. Oh, I can't wait. But I would love to tell her what God did in that car on a Sunday night with my brother and his wife. On that same spot where they parked, God visited with us by His Holy Ghost. And when we went to my brother's house, we sat down and we took bread. And we took the cup. And we repented for our mothers and fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers. And we covered many, many bases that night. Because it was the Day of Atonement for us. Was it the exact date? No. But was it a Day of Atonement for us? Yes. I never forgot it. Because there was one particular individual that kept popping into my heart. And this individual, I have never seen, never met. I only know his name. It was a man. And he was singled out, and we purposed to intercede for him. And when we broke the bread, we asked God to forgive him of his sin of fear. He had served a spirit of fear for the better part of his life. We knew it by the fruit, and we knew it by a thrust from God inside of us. And we knew we were recipients of that spirit. We had served under that same anointing. And so we repented for this individual by name. And when I left their house on Monday, I prayed with my sister-in-law and my brother, and I said, you know, let's agree that God will establish something to break our tradition right now. To just really let us know if we did something right, if it is God, if we did this correct. Because we had done it to the best of our abilities. Well, I had never read any of this stuff. I didn't know it. All I knew was to do it. We had done it. Now, make a long story short, several days later, my sister, actually it was two days later, Wednesday, she calls me at night, my sister-in-law. She says, Kim, I believe we have our confirmation. She says, when I woke up this morning at the foot of the bed, I saw an individual, literally with my eyes open. And this particular gentleman appeared to me, and I knew his name without knowing. And she says, it's the man that we prayed for. And all he did is have a great big smile on his face, nodded his head, and he was gone. Now again, that was one confirmation that I didn't understand the fullness. Several days later, I was in the chapel at the Grace Church of Christ, and we were celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles for the very first time. That should give you how many clear visions of God pressing us to obey, and how many years ago that was. And how many know Sister Yvonne? Okay. Sister Yvonne came in late. She had a book for me. And the book was Redeeming the Land by Gwen Shaw, which I had never heard of. I didn't go to bed that night because I couldn't stop reading Redeeming the Land. Many years later, I got to meet Sister Gwen in Rhode Island. And when I said to her the little testimony about how God had used her book to confirm what we had done in Canada, she looked at me and she says, out of all the books that I have written, how many know or heard of Gwen Shaw? She's from Anaheim Handmaidens. She says, out of all the books that I have written, she has written many books, she's in her 80s, I would believe, at this time. She says, that's the only book that I got crucified by the church. It's not religious, and it's not acceptable to the religious realm. And I said, wow. Thank you. Why? Because she didn't write it to please the church, or the churches. She wrote it to be obedient to the body of Christ. Why are we here tonight? To obey what Jesus asked us to do. To take time out. Day of Atonement. To really understand why we are here. Not just for ourselves. Not for a selfish trip. But for maybe a change in the heavenly church. And a change in the earthly church. Yes. and then a change in our families, yes, and our extended families. Do you understand the impact if we just obey? What's going to happen? It'll spread, won't it? It'll change the atmosphere where you live, where you work, and where you are. I'm going to take you just a hair further. Chapter 10. I want to go to verse 2. Just the B part. For the worshiper would have been cleansed once and for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Correct? Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. Whose body? His body and this body. Come on. See, don't lock yourself in just to the body of the flesh that Jesus had. What about this body? Is he preparing this body for you or for him? See, don't twist it so that you now lock yourself out. That's the enemy's trick. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased that I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scrolls. I have come to do the will of, oh God. First, he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made. Then he said, here I am. I have come to do your will. He set aside the first to establish the second covenant. Amen?
Amen.
And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifices of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Made holy by the sacrifice of his body. Double meaning again. Double meaning. There are times that you will carry somebody else in the body. Whether they're part of this church or not, doesn't make any difference. They're still part of the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen?
They may not know what you know, but you already are accountable for what you know. Do you notice I'm preaching tonight? Do you understand? You are accountable for what you know. And if you don't have enough knowledge, get on the stick and do something. All right? Get into the Bible. Get into the books that are given to you as tools to grow up. Amen?
Amen.
You can change your tomorrow. You can change by acting what you are in the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen?
Verse 11, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But when this priest has offered for all time one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. He waits for what? His enemies. Who are his enemies? Who are your enemies? Is it a bunch of relatives that misbehaved? Is it your ancestors that didn't do it right? No. It's the negative forces. Your battle is not against flesh and blood. Verse 14, because by one sacrifice he made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Did you hear? Close your eyes just for a moment and say, because by one sacrifice
he has made perfect forever
those who are being made holy.
That's me.
The body of Christ today. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
you read a little further, you'll talk about how God's Holy Spirit is going to make you learn of His ways by His anointing, by His ways to transform what you were to what you need to become. In this understanding that we have of ourselves as the body, we can begin to grow and grow up. Not grown, but grow up. Carry your brother's burden. Carry your sister's burden. This past week, 2 days in a row, I had somebody in my heart. And I made 2 telephone calls. And to the same individual, 2 separate days. And left a message on both occasions. Well, guess what? Never got a return call. Well, the third day, the enemy said, this person doesn't want to talk to you. They're angry with you. And then he began to use a vision. A vision that had been given to me. And he contorted the vision to mean that this individual was one that would now betray me. And I told the enemy to go away, in Jesus' name. But he came back with a new twist every time. That was Tuesday and Wednesday. This afternoon, I'm trying to rehearse and get ready for what he's trying to show me. And I'm seeing the person's face in my spirit. And I heard call. And guess what I said? Well, that person hasn't called, so they must be still be angry. And I heard no. Call. So I looked at the number, and I went to pick up the phone, and I had another little nudge from my soul. They're not going to be home. You're just wasting your time. I finally settled the issue with the enemy by saying, well, if they're home, they'll answer the phone. And if they're not, I won't leave a message. Because they've already got 2 messages. I'm confessing to you so that you'll know that I'm just as human as you are. And the enemy hates my guts just like he hates yours. Because we're part of the same body. So now I dial a number. And on the second ring, there was a pickup. And the person came to the phone and we began to communicate. The person was all excited because I didn't remember I had given them a psalm to read. I had no recollection. I had just given them some commission to read a particular psalm. And now the person's all excited. And by the way, I had this happen on Wednesday, I had this happen on Thursday, I had this happen on Friday, and this happened on Saturday, and I never got my messages until this morning. And I was going to call you today. But thank God you called me. Because now I know this is God and you really care about me. And I said, it's not me that cares about you. It's Jesus that loves you so much. But have you any idea what this means, Kim? What it means is that I was falling apart. Nobody was caring about me. But now I have hope because that word was so alive and so on time. I had nothing to do with it. All I did was give it a number. Read Psalms number. That's all I did. Are you catching on? Mm-hmm. Do your part. It doesn't have to be something so big. Just do your part. If you do your part, the rest of the body will stay alive. If you do your part, they'll be encouraged. If you do your part, instead of tearing them down, build them up. Instead of tearing yourself down, build yourself up.